The Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast features people from the real estate community sharing real stories about their struggles, pains, and even losses during their own real estate journey. We share these real experiences so you can learn from them and build a successful journey of your own. Now, here's your host, Cody Lewis, one of the managing partners at Vindu Capital, located in Charleston, South Carolina.
Hey, and welcome back to the show, everyone. I'm so excited to have y'all back. I'm even more excited to have our guest on today. He is the managing partner at Debt Free Doctor. Dr. Jeff, thanks for joining us today. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Cody. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, man. Thank you for making the time. I know you got a lot going on. You're incredibly busy. We were talking a little bit before we hit record and learning about some of the insider stuff that you got going on and all the fun stuff you have on your YouTube channel. For those that maybe haven't found you on YouTube, haven't found your website, tell us a little bit about where you're from, how you got into real estate, and where you're kind of at in your real estate career now.
Sure. I'm a practicing periodontist in Louisiana. And the way that I got into real estate actually happened from a snow skiing trip about 7 years ago, 7-8 years ago. We were skiing in Beaver Creek and my wife and I got off the lift, a kid cut in front of me and, swerved. And you know, when you fall, you instinctively put your hands down. And when I did that, it bent my wrist back and I got up and it wasn't anything, you know, like a major injury or anything, but that was really the first time that I ever thought about, okay, that was like on a Saturday and we were going home Tuesday, you know, what if I couldn't work for the next 4 to 6 or 8 weeks, you know, because I've got to use my hands. I knew that it was a pretty risky way to live, but I, you know, it's kind of like you don't know what you don't know. Right.
Right.
So, I didn't have a clue what to do. I just knew that I probably needed to start looking into getting other streams of income coming in. Yet I didn't want to work anymore, hours or shifts or jobs or whatever. Didn't have a clue where to start, where to go. Eventually, I started looking at what other successful people do. And I found that 90% of the millionaires had real estate in their portfolio. I had none at the time, except my primary home. And then the average millionaire had anywhere from, I believe, 3 to 7 streams of income coming in. I had one. And that really helped guide me to, okay, well, then I need to look at doing real estate. And then we went back and forth between active and passive and looked at the pros and cons of each. Decided on, because I'm a busy professional, the passive route right now was the better choice for me. And then I started going down that route, got into syndications, and then here we are.
Awesome. Well, hey, you know, one of the best things that I get to do and enjoy about doing this podcast is hearing everyone's background. And it's always interesting how people, in your case, literally fall into real estate and figure out that sort of thing. And it's interesting. We had on Vikram Raya recently, and he was saying that most doctors, I should say, are bad investors. So it's interesting kind of how you found real estate and got into that. But I would imagine that, you know, even as a passive investor and all the stuff that you, I know, did a ton of research and prep and looking at real estate, it probably hasn't been always successful, and wanted to explore a little bit about that today. And I know you got a kind of a unique story that you wanted to share with the audience.
Yeah, when I first started, I was into crowdfunding because at that time in 2017, that's about when I started. And that was when it really started to become more popular. At the time, RealtyShares.com was a big player, sort of like a Fundrise is now, you know. And I did a couple of small debt deals with patchofland.com. And that was from recommendation of Joe Fairless back then. And then I started doing some more research, decided to go big with my first equity deal. That was an apartment syndication on Realty Shares in Tulsa, Oklahoma. The way that I would choose at that point between what deals that I wanted to go into was what the property looked like on the computer screen and whichever one had the higher numbers. I didn't know what the numbers meant. It was just, okay, I was comparing, this one is 17.2% and this one's 13.4. I'm going to go with that one. And after 6, 8, 10 months of getting some updates saying that, nothing is really happening and this and that. Kind of out of the blue, the whole website went under. And I don't know if it was because a lot of deals were going bad, but everybody that was in that particular deal, which was a $50,000 minimum, lost their investment.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, and the number one question that I get from people when I tell them that story is, well, why didn't you quit? And that definitely crossed my mind several times. Sure. I didn't tell my wife about it. She doesn't really care what I invest in as long as, you know, I pretty much know what I'm doing, but she actually came across the blog article, which I'll send to you in an email if you want to link in the show notes, if people want to read more about it. She actually saw it and said, "You lost $50,000?" And so, yeah, it's on the internet, honey. So,
no hiding that one.
no hiding that one. I think maybe one of her friends or something saw it and forwarded it to her and, "Hey, did you know that Jeff lost 50 grand a few years ago?" And so, but anyway, no, it wasn't fun. It would have been easy to quit. But again, I knew that there was other people that were successful in doing this. And, you know, I've failed and made mistakes my whole life. This is just one way to, and I definitely learned a lot from this, a lot, which has actually led me where I think I am today.
Well, and that's good to hear. And I know you do a great job teaching the community all about syndication and investing in real estate and that sort of thing. So I'm glad to hear that some good came out of it. Thinking back to that investment and where you're at today, if you have some people that are listening to this episode that are thinking about passively investing, what should they be thinking about or what should they be doing before they partner with an operator or even a company online, some sort of crowdfunding to invest in? What are the steps that they should take to make sure that it's as safe of an investment as you can be, knowing that there's always risk, but how do they mitigate most of the risk?
I would say, so for instance, if you were to move into a new town and let's say that your son's playing football and he screws up his shoulder and you don't know anybody in town to take him to an orthopedic, well, how do you find somebody that's good? You start asking other people, right? You do that, you get online and that sort of thing. And similar thing, you know, you do enough of that. You know, I was meeting with people at conventions, conferences, meeting syndicators, meeting the investors. And then after you do it a while, you kind of hear the same names that come up of who to invest with, but you also hear the names of who to avoid.
There you go.
And one good question that I always like to ask syndicators, you know, not only can I have some names of people that have been with you for a while, but also names of people that have just started with you investing? But I also ask them this: if you weren't able to invest in your own deal, who would you invest with? And you'll learn a lot from that question to see what they say. And if they say, "Well, I would never invest with anybody but myself," then that's probably a red flag. You know,
yeah.
That's just how it is. But that'll tell you a lot about that person.
I love that. And I don't think I've ever heard that question. That's a fantastic question to ask. To your point, it'll teach you a lot about that operator, but it'll also gain you a lot of knowledge in who do they trust and like as well.
Because I get asked that question quite a bit because, I mean, not everybody's going to want to invest with one syndicator. I don't.
Sure.
You know, I want to spread things out, you know, just like you, if you're in the stock market, you're not going to be in one stock. Probably you're going to either spread it out or do like an index fund or something where you've, like you said, you've mitigated the risk. So, in that way, you know, I've invested with four different syndicators and then looking back, I can see the differences over the years of how they communicate. Are their distributions timely? Do they get me the K-1s on time? You know, different nuances like that. I just had two go full cycle that I invested in 2016 and 2017. So I was able to go back, look at what the projected returns were compared to what I actually got. So once you start doing this after about 4 or 5 years, I always tell people, if you do it consistently, about the 4, 5, 6 year mark, that's when things really start to snowball. Because, you know, now moving forward, about every year, I'm going to have one or two deals go full cycle. And then it just really picks up the pace after that.
Yeah. So I would imagine, And that's the best part of it about it, right? That's the end of it where you get to really see how the numbers panned out and are they going to actually hit the projected totals. When you're looking and evaluating different folks to invest with, are you ever going to stop looking at different people to invest with, or will you continue to branch out? Because I would imagine there are some people maybe that think 10 or 15 different syndicators is a good number. Some prefer two, you know. What does that look like in your mind, and why do you hover at the number, I think you said four, that you currently invest in? What makes that number kind of magical for you?
Well, that's just the amount of people that I've invested with. And I kept hearing those people, the same names coming up over and over. So those are the ones. But I mean, it just depends on how you are. There's some people that only want to invest with one person and they don't want to fool with anything else. I think a good number is 3 to 5. You know, once you start getting 10, 15, 20, I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot to keep up with. You know, I had a call a couple months ago. The guy said, well, I'm in 38 different deals and I've got spreadsheets, and that's what he lives off of. You know, and he's out in California, and that was what paid the bill. So that was his full-time job, was keeping track of all the different syndicators and deals. And if that's what you want to do, then, you know, more power to you.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like almost like a day trader, right? Just keeping up with all the different markets and things that you got going. For those that maybe are listening and they're on the GP side and they're trying to recruit somebody like you on the LP side that are maybe getting started out, what's the best advice you could give somebody who's in syndication that's trying to find either accredited or non-accredited investors, depending on what their flavor is, when they're first starting out? How do they reach somebody like you and resonate with somebody like yourself?
That's easy. You've probably heard the phrase, there's riches and niches. You got to have a niche. Because if you try to be everything to everybody, it's too hard. I was on a call. I'm in a real estate group that they used to coach me, and that's how I've learned. And they've actually asked me to help coach some of their people now, but I just don't have the time. But I told them that I would, when, you know, every now and then would get on a call or something like that. And so one particular person was just getting their website set up, and they were going through all this stuff, and they were having a really hard time building the email list. And I asked the person was, you know, a little bit older. So I said, you know, it was a lady. I said, before you did this, because she just started doing this, did you do anything else? She said, well, I'm a retired attorney. I said, there you go. She said, what are you talking about? I said, go after attorneys. She said, well, I'm going to miss everybody else. I said, you're already missing everybody else. You know the pain points, you know what they're going through. So if you can connect with whatever you know best, that would be my best advice.
Sure. I love that. I've heard that a similar advice before, talking about understanding who your avatar is, right? I think the tech community talks about an avatar as a person and building what the ideal investor looks like. And that's your avatar, and focusing all your marketing efforts, your communication structure, how you reach out or who you reach out to that avatar. So I think that makes a lot of sense when doing something like that. Well, Dr. Jeff, I appreciate the time. I'm looking at the clock, and I know we got a wrap it up soon, but I very much appreciate you coming on, sharing your knowledge and sharing your experience and letting folks know that you don't have to quit after a failure, right? There is light at the end of the tunnel, and real estate can be that light. So for those that maybe want to connect with you, learn from you, that sort of thing, where's the best place people can find you?
I would probably say my blog, because a little bit of everything is on there. They could either read articles. And like you mentioned previously, I've recently started a YouTube channel where I'm going back through the 275 articles that I've written and turning those into videos. So if people don't want to read 2,000-4,000 word articles, they can just watch a video. So you can actually subscribe to the YouTube channel on there. And the blog is debtfreedr.com. If they want to connect with me via email, it's jeff@debtfreedr.com.
Perfect. Well, and I will second that for anybody who is a visual learner like myself. Dr. Jeff's YouTube channel is amazing. Go check it out, subscribe, and watch all the videos that come out, because they truly are great. Dr. Jeff, thank you for joining us today. Thanks for coming on, making some time for us and the audience. We really do appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks for having me on. It was a pleasure.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate all of y'all for listening, and we will catch everyone next time.
You've been listening to the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast with Cody Lewis. Be sure to subscribe today on your favorite podcasting platform so you can catch every episode of the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast.